Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool, is it shit?
Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit?
Welcome to the editors meeting.
This is episode 38. Welcome back. Second week hosting.
You didn't say magic.
Oh, sorry.
Magic 38.
Magic 38.
Just like the bus route.
Dom, London. What the hell are you doing? You haven't been introduced yet.
Dom's a rebel.
How dare you? You come onto this podcast for the first time and start throwing your weight around.
No, that's perfect. That's going to lead me to introduce Dom, who is our new business director at Zach. It's his second week. Second week?
Yeah.
And we're throwing you in the deep end, and we've asked you to come on the podcast. How are you feeling?
Get the interesting people on, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here, man.
Everyone always says that.
Yeah?
No, they don't, actually. This is the most enthusiastic response I've ever had.
Because he's new.
Normally, when I say to someone, can you do the podcast, they'll come up with some excuse, or they won't even do that. They'll just flat out say no. So
yeah, well, appreciated that.
Worries. Yeah, new business director. Here I am. Very happy to be here, legitly. And looking forward to today's convo.
We're
man.
Really immersing you into the culture and the team by having you on the podcast.
This is so it.
I'm excited to hear your story and your opinions.
I will try and be as opinionated as I can.
Yeah, great. And we've also got the resident wild boy, Chris, who's back, our growth manager for Zach. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Thanks for asking. I don't feel
hosts ever really get asked how they are. But
no, they don't. It's quite sad, but I'm not going to go into it because we'll be here for ages. Just apart from the fact that I've got a sore throat, but it's fine. How long has it been since you've been on the podcast?
I don't know. I've actually lost count of my pods.
Yeah.
Probably going to say number 7.
So I would have said 7.
Oh, always a pleasure having you, though.
That is actually
it's always
as well.
A pleasure to be here.
Yeah, lucky number 7. I'm glad to hear it. And obviously, as you've heard, because he likes to chip in when it's not his turn, we've got James, the editor-in-chief of the Cool Shit Newsletter /podcast/ Little Chef. Hi, James. Why are you grumpy for?
Little Chef.
Because, well, you said I'd chip in when it's not my turn. So
I've said, how are you, James? It's your turn.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fine, thank you, Gina. Very well. Yeah, I'm in a good mood, actually.
You sound it. Yeah. All right, we'll get straight into it. How's this week been for stories? Oh, actually, is it worth noting that I provided?
Yeah, well, again, we can a call back to last week. As a very important businessman doing very important business, I didn't have time to find the stories, and Gina found them again. And they've been fairly strong for 2 weeks in a row. So I don't know if you've just got lucky or if I'm just shit at finding stories.
Probably a bit of both.
It's like, you know, it made me think, you know, the like Spotify rap playlists things. My favorite of those is 2019, which means my music taste is getting worse in my own opinion.
Okay.
And same with the cool shit stories. Yep. I think they're better, but I'm the one who chooses the stories, so it doesn't really make sense.
Or maybe stuff's just getting worse.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It might not be an indication of your preferences. It could just be general.
Yeah. But I could still listen to that old stuff that I prefer. So why wouldn't you think the playlist to be the same? It's weird that I'm listening more to stuff that I don't like. Anyway, we've been sidetracked here.
Let's get into it. So like James mentioned, I provided the story, so it's going to be a good one. So what are we starting with?
Do you know what? I'm going to do something new here. I'm going to give you all the choice, because I wasn't sure which one. Do you want a story about McDonald's or about football?
I'm going to, as the host, I'm going to choose McDonald's because I don't like football.
There you go.
And I'm not going to have much to say.
Democracy can...
Well, as the host, I think it's decided.
Sorry, guys. Just bulldoze my way through it.
Okay, so there's this footballer called Jan Vertonghen.
Oh, are you actually serious? I'm going to have nothing to contribute to that.
I actually decided that I wanted to do McDonald's anyway.
It's a
wicked
story.
That was the illusion of choice.
Go on, then.
Right, so basically, I put this in specifically for Chris, who I know loves a double ches, as he calls it.
I do love a double ches bug, actually.
Sorry, ches bug.
A double ches bug.
So following on from the Edgar Wright directed ad that you may have all seen that didn't show any food, McDonald's have launched a new stills campaign in which they also show no food, but they show sort of mirages of food. Have you all had a chance to have a look at it?
I have, yeah.
I'm holding up the laptop in case they haven't.
Because when you're hungry, you see food everywhere.
Yeah, that's why I said mirage. Like, you know, like that thing, like if you're thirsty in the desert, you see a lake appear or something. Yeah,
a lady?
Exactly.
Oh, lake.
No. That's a different kind of thirsty.
I mean, yeah. So for listeners at home who might not have seen it, do you want to describe a few of...
There's a garage door that bears a strong resemblance to a Big Mac.
Some real nice work on that.
It's lovely, isn't it? Yeah. Well, this is what's funny, because, and then I'll go through the other one. Then there's another door which looks like French fries. There's another one which looks like a McFlurry. They're all doors, basically. But it makes me laugh because I chose this because the art direction is just so kind of neat and well done.
Yeah.
And then it made me laugh that when we had our actual art director on, we spoke about fucking robot lawyers. Yep. Something like this would have been a lot more appropriate. So, yeah, sorry, Jade. But I just thought, because the reason I brought up the Edgar Wright advert, do you know the one I'm talking about? The eyebrows raising,
on
TV.
Yeah, the recent one, yeah.
Yeah, which I wasn't terribly kind of blown away by. Like, he's a very kind of, famous director, but like my main problem with it was that it didn't actually make me fancy a McDonald's at all, whereas this, without even showing any food, kind of does in a way. Mm-hmm. And because like the colors and everything are just so identifiable that without even having to show the food, you can kind of picture it in your head, which I just think is a really neat idea. Yep. Well executed.
And I think it's worth, this is in France, isn't it? This is a French campaign.
It is in France, actually. That's the point. Actually, they've been, ever since I've stopped eating McDonald's, they've been in Cool Shit pretty much every week.
Yeah,
so
have.
Clearly that's how I'm getting my fix, because they're in it last week, and I think that was like McDonald's Latvia or something, and now this is McDonald's France. Famous for their food as well, for their fine cuisine.
I mean, it makes sense that it's French, because the actual campaign is quite like chic and it's quite classy.
Yeah, it's kind of Wes Anderson-y as well.
Yeah, it is, because it's all quite like, it's got a certain style to it, and I feel like in terms of how like elegant it is, that is classic French/European McDonald's. Because if you compare French McDonald's, who have like their own little coffee counter with macaroons and stuff, to UK McDonald's, which is pretty stinky business. Sorry, Chris, I know you love McDonald's. It's just, it makes sense. And it's done by TBWA, so a big boy agency. And again, you can tell that it's done by quite a cool agency, big agency. What do you think, Chris? You're the McDonald's lover.
I am a massive McDonald's lover. And for those who have been to France, my favourite McDonald's item is the Croquette McD.
The Croquette McDo.
Oh, yeah.
That pronunciation is delicious.
I actually went to school with a boy called Croquette McDo.
No, I really like this campaign because it's so distinctively McDonald's. Like, you cannot get it mixed up with any other fast food chain out there. It's so, like, the Big Mac is just such a good bit of work. Like, the sesame seeds, the glass, like... Even the letterbox where the cheese is coming
out.
Smart.
A little tongue, yeah.
So nice.
Dom, you have a ton of agency experience.
Yeah.
And what do you think about this?
I like it. It's like almost not McDonald's in its execution, which is like kind of striking, real cool. Like you said, the colours are dope. I love the stained glass windowy.
That was quite cool.
That one's like,
again, elegant, right?
Was that the ice cream one?
Yeah.
That's how you can tell it's fake, because the ice cream machine's always fucking broken in real life.
You defo wrote that down to you.
I did write that down.
I knew it.
But no, I like it. It's cool. It is a cool ad. Like I say, it's not. It almost doesn't look like McDonald's at all.
Yeah.
And then it's like got that, like you say, that chic element.
So. Yeah, it's just not trying too hard as well. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Bloody hell, glowing reviews.
Tell you what, it reminds me, hang on, one sec. It reminds me as well, actually, this we can relate this to a Culture Club as well, because it reminds me of Dali's, Mae West face as well a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, just kind suggesting without kind of being too obvious about anything, which I just think is very neat.
Well, this
culture.
We love culture. This is rare. It's rare that we get a story that everyone just really likes, and
unanimity.
It's just kind of simple as that.
Isn't it?
So great start, James.
Thank you.
That probably is going to make it into the newsletter, but you can find
it
out later.
It absolutely will.
What else you got for us? Are we about to say
this
something?
One? Sorry. This one we probably won't all agree on.
Go on.
So I'd intended to keep AI out of Cool Shit.
Impossible.
For a week, but I haven't, basically.
It's been over,
isn't
it?
Yeah,
it
exactly.
Has.
So is everyone familiar with the show Seinfeld?
Yeah, and if people aren't, do you want to give a tiny rundown?
I'm not doing the plot. It was the biggest sitcom in the kind of late 90s.
That's all we need.
I guess.
Perfect.
There you
yeah.
go. Written and starring Jerry Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Nothing Forever is an AI-generated sitcom based on Seinfeld that's been running live-streamed on Twitch 24 hours a day, 7 days a week since December.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know what to say about it, but if you haven't had a chance, it's just fucking weird, basically. And that's why I thought I need to bring this up, because I need to talk about this, because I don't understand.
Yeah. It's nuts. Like, I think with AI and stuff, I think the interesting thing is, like, so AI has learned everything on the internet, and it's just spitting it back out, and obviously you can like code it and stuff. So you've got this Seinfeld-esque thing. But I think the most interesting thing about AI when we get there is like, if you've learned everything that humans think from the internet, like where are the gaps in that? And what does then that look like? And so you wouldn't then end up with like a Seinfeld thing with like, I think it's got like fake audience laughs and like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And it like, so it's all the tropes of like a 90s sitcom.
Yeah. Laugh now and everybody claps exactly. And you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, cool if that's what you want to spend your time doing. But like,
this was interesting because they don't really have to spend their time now because they kind of like set it up and then you just let it go. People talk about
watch it.
Yeah, oh, right. This is the thing because it's interesting the point that you make. Like, what information is it getting? Because obviously there's a ton of people in the world who don't have access to the internet. So it's completely ignoring all of those. And there's some kind of moral issues surrounding AI because I remember there was one, like, I think it was like a Google chatbot where like it started all of a sudden like talking about the Jews or something and it got well racist. And with this one, I said it's been running since December. It's actually not now because it's on a 14-day ban from Twitch due to a stand-up bit that was deemed transphobic from the character who's meant to be like the Seinfeld character. Mm-hmm. And the people who's like made the program are just like, shit, we don't know why he started saying that. Sorry about that. Yeah, so
it's quite dystopian, isn't it? Because it's kind of out of your control once it's been
set
up.
Is this fully self-sufficient, this AI?
It's just running constantly. Yeah, 24 hours.
Which is incredible.
Finding
itself,
new
right?
learnings and just scraping the internet
content. There's a chatbot as well, so like people are like contributing there, aren't they?
But this is the thing, though, because it's not just like...
So people can feed into it.
I think they're just commenting. Can they feed into
it? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. But like that's what's crazy, because it's not just like generating speech. Like it's generating kind of plot lines and environments as well. Like, because I feel like we've seen quite a lot of kind of AI-generated imagery or AI-generated speech, and this is almost kind of like a first glimpse of like the combination of like DALL-E and ChatGPT and all of that, all those things converging into one place with a bit of transphobia sprinkled in as well, which isn't so. Although, this was interesting, because I'll tell you what he said in it. He was doing stand-up and he said, "No one's laughing. Does anyone have any suggestions? I'm thinking about doing a bit about how being transgender is actually a mental illness, or how all liberals are all secretly gay and want to impose their will on everyone, blah, 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 stuff like that." But the thing is, I'm looking at that and I'm like, I feel like that's just obviously satire. Because that's an example of like a comedian bombing, having lost the audience, and then going like, oh, I'm going to call all liberals gay, which is just obviously so ridiculous. So now it's been banned. I'm like, shit, has AI developed a better sense of humour than human beings? Human beings are like, oh, you can't say that. And the AI is going, yeah, it was a joke.
But we touched on this before. I know it's not to do with AI, but in terms of like comedy and like where the lines are. And I know that's something that's, you know, interests you because you like to throw out wild things
as a professional comedian who's done stand-up once. Yeah, no, exactly.
On that point specifically, it's like, you know, that's where the most interesting bits are, like that you shouldn't be able to censor it. The edge of... of those things is kind of where the magic is going to happen. And so, like, it becomes a real, I guess, moral quandary when you have to, like, censor it, and then who owns it depends on how much it's censored and which direction it's censored in. Hello?
That was a speech.
That was a weird noise. No, we made that noise, Mr. Orme, it's a good point.
That's it.
Okay.
But, it's cool, but, you know, it's
another AI thing.
It's another AI thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm kind of getting bored of AI, James. Let me stop bringing AI
stories.
I would
never get bored of AI. You can't get bored of AI because it's here to stay.
It is here to stay.
True.
Yeah. It is. Well,
you don't want to be one of those people who like held on to a BlackBerry for like 5 years after everyone stopped using them, asking people for their BBM pin.
Yeah. But this is the thing, when AI like really takes off and you can get a chip inserted in your brain, you don't want to be like the last dude that's just here with a normal human.
No, you don't want to be. You don't want to be the first. And you don't want to be the last.
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly.
Yeah,
absolutely buzzing to get a chip inserted into my brain. Chris, what have you got for us? Something wholesome, I'm guessing.
I do usually talk about AI because, you know, stories like this do scare the shit out of me, as interesting as I find them. But my story is Balenciagate continuing.
Right, what's happened?
So we all know that they had that recent child ad scandal.
Yeah.
So they've actually just announced a new partnership with the National Children's Alliance.
Well, they need some more models or something.
That was quick. Did you write that one down?
No. I didn't know he was bringing
learning.
This.
Dom is learning. Yeah,
I didn't know he was bringing this.
That was good.
The meaner we are to James, the more kind of engagement the podcast normally gets. So
I think the more engaged I am as well.
Yeah, it's true.
I'll check out. I've got abused every 2 minutes.
So they've partnered with these guys.
So yeah, Balenciaga and Caring Foundation have partnered with NCA. So they're this children's charity, and Balenciaga basically want to train and deploy 2,000 professionals to help child abuse.
To help, yeah, I was going to say.
And around, they're looking to help about 55,000 children from this program. So it's a 3-year program. The three pillars that they're focusing on are promoting education for Balenciaga about child protection, helping adults with the appropriate to promote the safety and well-being of children, raise public awareness on child abuse and child protection, promote happy, healthy childhoods. And yeah, it's just, you know, if you look back at the scandal, it's like a complete polar opposite of that, like what has happened.
Funny,
like,
that,
like,
isn't it?
That's the point, though. I know. We'll go on to, you might have heard Dom say that.
I want to hear Dom say, well, it's fucking stupid.
Go on, Dom, you can go first then.
No, you know, because it's, if I'm understanding it right, they're going to educate their employees on about child abuse, right? There's like...
No, not just their employees. I think the National Children's Alliance is, I guess...
that's what they do.
So it's not just their employees. I think it's a charity that kind of fights child abuse or whatever.
Right.
Okay. So, and creates opportunities for children, all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
It's basically a very expensive mea culpa, and Balenciaga saying, we fucked up.
Yeah.
We don't hate kiddies. It is
either. We'll throw some money at
some
It's best case scenario, though, because either way, it's helping something.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I know it's just
a great
response.
Cause, right?
It's a response. It is a response to what they did, but what else do you want them to do? They fucked up.
But then, like, it poses the question of Balenciaga only doing this because they got themselves in hot water.
Yeah, that's why.
And there was no genuine interest to actually, as a brand, help children.
No, for sure. And it completely undermines kind of any authenticity of intention, because everyone knows why they're doing it. But equally, at a certain point, you think, well, do the ends justify, not the means, but like the intention, I suppose. Because even if they're doing it to basically score some good PR and try to get people to start buying their products again, if they do indeed help 55,000 children, then you think, okay, that's not actually the worst thing in the world.
I agree with you. Like, the reason for them actually doing it, I don't know. I mean, we do know, but it's a bit kind of not fake, but like performative. But
yeah,
at the end of the day, it's going to be helping people. So
yeah, definitely
go for it, Balenciaga.
And like, there's no real solutions in the world. It's just compromises, isn't it?
Yep.
So it's like, you know, as long as they're like factories and all that, there's no like child labour in like wherever their factories are.
You need to be thorough with these things.
Need to be thorough with it. You need to go all the way from like top to bottom. But yeah, I mean, like you say, as long as it helps someone along the way.
Yeah, I'm loath to give them too much credit, though. Like,
no, exactly. I agree. That's why I said it's fucking stupid.
Exactly. Like, I get... It just still feels a bit kind of grubby, doesn't it?
Yeah. Of course.
You're kind of only doing this because you got caught. Like, I know all the reasons that we just said of why it's better than them doing nothing, but, like, to me, this is kind of... You know, like, okay, if somebody fucks up and, like, apologises, you can say, all right, whatever, move on, but you don't give them, like, credit for the apology.
That's true.
This kind of gets them slightly back towards, I guess, zero, I suppose. Yeah,
closer to.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's a good way of summarising it.
It's good to know that, like, they are doing something.
A bit more active.
Yeah, exactly, because I wouldn't have known. So,
I think they should have doubled down.
Really, James? Yeah. Dom?
Yeah.
It's your first time bringing a story. Hoping it's a good one.
Mine is about the theatre show coming into the West End after it was in kind of smaller theatres, I think in South London, like Brixton and stuff like that. It's called For Black Boys Who Have Considered Suicide When the Hue Gets Too Heavy. And it's about six black boys who
go to therapy. And then it's like that melting pot of what's happened and what's going on and what comes out of it. I wanted to go before, but it was on like for a month and it sold out pretty quickly. And then because of the success, it's now going to be in the West End for 6 weeks. So I think we've got Culture Club, right? We've got Cool right here.
Yeah, Culture Club.
I'm going to be putting it up
on
there. And I'm going, I've got tickets on the 27th of April, I think.
Nice.
And there's a Q&A with the director and writer who is called Ryan Cameron. So yeah, super, super interesting. I'm really looking forward to it. I just recently got into theatre, so going to see something like this where I can like feel seen, recognised.
Relate as well.
Yeah. So yeah, wicked.
Because not only is it like, you know, about like a minority group, but it's also about quite a taboo subject, men's mental health,
exactly.
Which just isn't spoken about.
Yeah.
But combining the two, there's clearly a need for it, especially if it's selling out.
Exactly.
That
and
is
it's
cool.
Like a nice creative output. I think the point is it's not like too heavy once you go see it. There's laughter, there's comedy, there's, you know, touches on all different types of subjects.
Yeah,
but like, I'm assuming, I don't know, I've seen trailers and stuff, but you leave feeling pretty like uplifted about the kind of situation. So,
James, you're from Brixton.
I'm not from Brixton.
I mean, you and Chris live in Brixton.
Yeah, I split my time between the mean streets of Charing Heath and Kent and Brixton.
Yeah, so exactly. What do you think about this small show that started off in Brixton, making it big?
Yeah, good. Well, I was going to say that's the other thing, because I mean, without having seen the show, I was just flicking through the trailer now. It's hard to comment on it too much, but clearly it's a success story, which is a credit to the guy, Ryan Cameron. So, like, but as I said, I don't really know what to think of it without seeing it. I feel like my hands have been slightly tied here to include it, because I can't exactly say, no, I'm not too bothered about black boys who've considered suicide. That's not a position I'm willing to take. You kind of pulled on my heartstrings a little bit.
There
but,
you go.
But yeah, no, like, I'm up for it. I mean, maybe we can go for a Culture Club and do a little review after we've actually seen it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unlikely we're all going to say, nah, it's fucking rubbish, don't go see it.
Well, this is the thing you could do, right? Just your opinion.
The reviews are pretty great. I think
they would be, though, because there is just not much like this out there. There isn't anything out there. Sorry,
yeah, exactly.
So
like,
it's so important.
It's one of those things, isn't it? Like, it is really important, but you... to James's point, you could not give a shit about black boys who've considered suicide, but it's like the art of it. There's music. It's done well. It's like a creative...
You'd hope if it's done well enough, there's kind of... The messages are generalizable enough to not only apply to black boys who have considered suicide, which I imagine is why, but as you were saying, you come out of it kind of whoever you are feeling uplifted, like you've gone through some sort of catharsis with like a sense of perspective, all that good stuff.
Yeah. All the good stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
wholesome. That was wholesome compared to you. Actually, no, yours are pretty wholesome as well.
I wanted to ask Chris what he thinks about it.
I think it's really beautiful. And obviously...
Are you still looking at that cheeseburger?
I was about to say that. Always. You literally took the words out of my mouth.
It's my screensaver now. No, I think it's a beautiful story. And, you know, I really hope it does... This platform encourages people to have these conversations. I can only imagine how difficult it is to approach that sort of... that topic. So, you know, seeing this done on stage, I'm sure it will be amazing. Yeah,
I'm not sure it'll be amazing. I will say if it's shit. I've got all confidence that it won't be. Let's not jump to conclusions. No. We're teeing it up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just on that note, like, I think Black Panther was pretty shit, and he was like, "Oh, I'm not allowed to say that," and I was like, "Oh, it's pretty shit."
I've heard that. I've heard
like
mixed reviews.
Yeah.
Which one?
The second one.
Oh wait,
the first
two.
One. Oh, the first one.
Oh, I loved the first one.
Oh, I thought it was pretty shit.
Second one, I was like, just sad. It's just so sad.
Yeah. But there you go, you know, you don't have to just...
You don't have to like something just because of what it's standing for, what it's representing. The actual execution might not
be good. Thank you, Gina. That's a tremendous relief.
I'm glad, James, I'm glad. Well, thanks for that, Dom.
No worries.
Sounds really interesting. And thanks, Chris. Pleasure as always.
Always.
And James, thank you. And when you do decide what's going in the newsletter, because you've obviously not already written it and decided, where can people find it?
zachagency.com/cool-sht, which we still need to change.
Which you say every week.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Oh, is that it? Oh, cheers.
Bye. Bye.